Tom Fricke from GHD. Yeah, my question was, in fact, to Ken. Ken, on your last slide there, you had an item talking about the need for observing National Water Initiative pricing commitments for rural authorities and non-metropolitan urban authorities. I wonder, could you just comment on those commitments and how they sit with state-based oversight of pricing via the ESC, say, here in Victoria, IPART, New South Wales, etc. So how the state-based oversight of pricing fits together with the commitment that you mentioned, and perhaps expand a little bit on that item in your overhead, because I think you ran out of time to discuss that. So I'd be interested if you could expand on that and explain how it sits with the state-based pricing oversight.
The National Water Initiative derived from some, in part, from some previous commitments under national competition policy. They were the COAG competition policy reforms of the early 90s, and that set out arrangements for pricing, including urban pricing, and the general thrust of those arrangements include the need for separation of different elements of irrigation, including an independent pricing regulator. Across Australia, there is a patchy set of those arrangements. Some states do it better and do have more independence in urban water pricing. Other states have kept that essentially to government decisions, sometimes with advice or with analysis, but we probably, as a collection of governments, haven't made enough progress on that as might have been the objective at that time. But the reason I had that item on my slide was for a different purpose, and that is that Blind Freddy concede that when significant investments are made, say, in irrigation by through this $10 billion program, it will be difficult to balance the impacts on pricing and charging there in irrigation areas. But I guess what I was doing was reminding governments that it will be important to design those subsidies in a way that reduces the distortions, because there are better and worse ways of going about it. But they are commitments that bind all governments, including the Australian governments, and there'll be some nice choices that have to be made to do that. And that's the real reason why I'd put it there.
Don Cummins, Goulburn Murray Water. Ken, I'm concerned about a statement in your second last, your penultimate slide, I think it's called. It goes something along the lines of need to look into urban-rural policy constraints, that the National Water Initiative should look into that. And I presume you're looking into it to cut them down, not build them up. And that's my great concern, because what we've got at the moment is no one argues with the concept that for social reasons we adjust fuel prices and we watch who we sell uranium to. And we even got control over the end product of water products, which is grain control councils and so on. And yet we seem to be entering this water environment without any of these constraints. For example, if we allow, and I think everyone in this room knows that I can't imagine a single legislator or even a socially responsible adult wanting to see unfettered use of water in Melbourne, say for growing lawns, anything they choose to use it with, without any restrictive device, because they had pulled it from an irrigation area where you are cutting down the amount of food being produced and growing very nice lawns in Melbourne. That is not a nationally clever policy, and it's not even one I don't think that the National Water Initiative would, in fact, advocate. But that's what you do advocate when you talk about removing policy constraints. Do you want to comment?
Well, it's a statement more than a question. There are all sorts of clever ways that rural-urban trading could happen, and there are examples, for example, in Western Australia where water has been sold to the Perth community in exchange for a Perth community, a Perth urban community, making an investment in technology improvements and water efficiency savings, and that's a win-win situation. The other point that I did make when I was talking about that, I don't resile from the position that the National Water Commission takes, which is the NWI position, that there should be full water trade, including between sectors, but the process is really important. The process, including an opportunity for communities to have some input, including input to the design of how that ought to happen, and the West Australian example.